الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا كلوا من طيبات ما رزقناكم واشكروا لله إن كنتم إياه تعبدون قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يأتي على الناس زمان لا يبالي المرء ما أخذ منه من الحلال أم من الحرام صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين Respected ulama kiram and beloved brothers and elders, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has destined for each one of us a life on the face of this earth. The journey of life begins with birth and ends with death. And life does not finish there, but it continues thereafter. This is the main period of trial and tests, period where we face challenges and where we face difficulties sometimes and hardships. This is a period that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has destined for us, and we come into this world without our choice and go without our choice. What is demanded from us is to show obedience to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Obedience to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in all aspects of our life. The very fact that we are Muslims, which means to surrender and to subjugate ourselves and subdue ourselves before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like it had become manifest at the time of Qurbani, when every single person who can afford it began to sacrifice. Why? Because the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us how to sacrifice, which animal to sacrifice, which manner to sacrifice, the etiquette of sacrifice, the rules and regulations that pertain to that, the details that we had gone through yesterday, and that we know. But in essence, as we mentioned last week also, that the essence of all the deeds of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam is ita'at and showing obedience to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether it was in the time of Adam alayhi salam, whether it is in the time of Isa alayhi salam and Musa alayhi salam, or whether in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, the essence of all the deeds that have come is to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the oneness of Allah, in the prophethood of the respected prophets, and thereafter to show obedience to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the challenge is when there's a person has his own fancies and has his own whims and has his own desires and has his own ego, and on the other hand, the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the crux of the obedience, that when there is a confrontation between the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and our desires and our wishes, etc., then we subdue ourselves to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we forego our desires, our wishes, our whims, our thoughts, our ideas, our fancies. This we must understand. We understand this very clearly when it comes to Salat, when it comes to Hajj, going for the pilgrimage. We find all of us are concerned as far as the orders and etiquettes and do's and don'ts are concerned. Similarly, when it comes to our Salat and our Ibadat and ritual, we are all concerned that how we should carry out the Salat, what is the proper posture, what are the proper Salat etiquettes, what are the conditions of Salat, etc. But sometimes it's seen that there's an oversight when it comes to other matters of life, and one of them is our monetary dealings and businesses. When it comes to our businesses, sometimes we feel a person, he restricts himself only to the rituals, to the ibadah, to the sacrifice, to the salat, etc. When it comes to business, he feels it is solely his business. Nobody can tell him what to do in his business. It is his business. Nobody must mind his business. Yes, that may be certain as far as other people are concerned, but the Sharia is complete and full. And Allah Ta'ala commands us, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, udkhulu fi silmi kaffa. O you who believe, enter totally into the deen of Islam. Having two implications and meaning. One is enter fully and totally into the deen of Islam. Other words, outwardly, externally, internally, with your understanding, with your limbs, etc. Enter fully. Not that you are just going through the rituals and the practices and there's no conviction in the heart. With your heart, with your mind, with your soul, with your organs of your body, enter completely into the religion of Islam. The other meaning is this, enter into the complete Islam. In other words, don't be restrictive and selective when it comes to the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Salat, fine, I will read it. But zakat, it's a bit hard for me. Fasting, no, ma'azallah, I won't carry it out. Abstaining from haram, no, I won't be able to do this. This particular aspect, I'll be able to do. No, don't be selective, enter into the complete deen. Whatever the orders of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam are, whether it is our dressing, whether it is our eating, whether it is our intermingling, whether it is our social life, whatever aspect is it, enter totally into the deen of Islam and say, Sami'na wa atana. I've heard this and I've obeyed. And this is what Islam demands from us. As Muslims, we need to subject ourselves to the order of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in all places and all circumstances, in all conditions and circumstances. We accept this order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when it comes to our business as well, we find Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teach us also how to conduct our business. But in fact, if we peruse through all those ayats that have come in the Holy Quran, a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then a mu'min will always be relaxed and will not show that concern that we show today for earning our rozi. Because it mentioned a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even before a person is born, is still in the wombs of his stomach, then the angel is commanded to write down four things. And among those four things is his rozi and his rizq. What will be his sustenance and provisions in this world when he comes in? That is written down. Whether it's written down in detail, whether it's written down not in detail, Allah Pak knows best. But in essence, that is completely stipulated and is fixed and is written down before we come into this dunya. So when we have yaqeen on this hadith, and this hadith is found in Bukhari Sharif, no time to go into deep references, but this is mentioned in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that while you are in the womb of your mothers, then there are four things that are mentioned, and the relevant thing that is to our topic here today is your rozi and your rizq. What will be your rozi and your rizq? Some people go into the details, what amount of water you'll consume, what amount of meat you'll consume, what amount of fish you'll consume. Obviously, when it is written here, whether it is in detail or whether it is not in detail, whatever we will consume in this world is written down by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by Rasul, by the angel, and by the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we are told in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah wa inna nafsan lan tamuta hatta tastakmila rizqaha, that you will never leave this dunya till you don't complete your rozi and rizq that you have. And it is mentioned, like when a person goes from one place to another, maut is following him, death is following him, that's why he cannot escape. You can go to any part of the world, when our death is destined for us, and that appropriate and fixed time it will come to us. Similarly, the rosy and sustenance are over wherever we go. وَمَا مِنْ دَابَّةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ رِزْقَهَا وَيَعْلَمُ مُسْتَقَرَّهَا وَمُسْتَوْدَعَهَا كُلٌّ فِي كِتَابٍ مُبِينٍ. In the light of this verse, we understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken the responsibility of the rosy and sustenance of every living thing in the face of this earth. And Allah ta'ala knows its temporary abode, its permanent abode, permanently stays in Spingo, for example. Temporary abode is gone somewhere for visiting, gone for Hajj, gone for Umrah, etc. That's his temporary abode. Allah Ta'ala knows his permanent abode and his temporary abode. And all this is fi kitabi mubeen, is an open book. In other words, it's destined by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and it's fixed. That is why wherever we go, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends us that rozi. And especially in this day and age, we find that when we see when communications have become so easy, and similarly we find transportation has become so easy, sometimes in Dasturkhan we look at things from different continents on our Dasturkhan, to show to us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ensures this rozi comes to me. The kajur is from Makkah al-Mukarramah, it's from Medina Munawwara, for example, and the water Zamzam is from Medina Makkah al-Mukarramah. Then we might find some other things from Europe, some other things from Asia, even down in the store not very far away, we get vegetation that's grown in India, we can get it here right at our doorsteps. What is this? It is the nizam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ensures that the rozi comes to us. The rice that is so often eaten here in our Al-Sarkhan is the rice, the basmati rice that is grown in India and Pakistan. Imagine that rice was grown where? Who had planted the rice? Who had grown it? Who had nourished it in water, etc.? Who had thereafter plucked it and thereafter packed it and had come here to our shores? Thousands of kilometers away is the nizam and system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is predestined for us, Allah ta'ala will definitely give it to us. So we should have complete conviction upon this. The test and trial for us is how we obtain this rozi. It is already fixed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We will get a certain amount. Now, we will not get more than what is fixed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A very beautiful example is given. It's like those chickens. Nowadays, we don't find it here in the farms. You'll find people bring about chickens. Then they have a certain feed for it. Either they go and feed it there where the chickens stay, or either they throw it around and the chickens go and search for it. But that same amount of food that was supposed to be given is given to the chicken. Similarly, the same amount of food that is sustained by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is given to us. Whether we have one shop, two shops, three shops, four wholesales, whatever, that amount was fixed and that will be given to us. An easy example to understand is, like we have a container, like we have the water containers, etc., we have one tap at the bottom. So when you open the tap, whatever amount of water is there, it will come out. Now if you put two taps and three taps and four taps, what will happen? There may be more outlets here, but the contents will be the same and nothing more will come to us except that which is predestined by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what is the test all about? The test is this, that how we obtain that rosy. If we go and obtain that rosy in a manner that is halal, then inshallah there will be barakat in that rosy, we will get reward in that rosy, and if we go and obtain it in a way that is haram, we will not get more, but there will become our means of our rejection of our ibadat in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a means of sin, and we'll see the consequences of that haram in our lives, in our children, in our families, etc. So the real challenge is how we obtain that rosy, how we obtain that rosy, and what is the way that we adopt to go and get that rosy. The way shown to us by Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, this is what we intend here to discuss, that even this is governed by Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We are told what avenues to adopt to get our rosy, and what avenues to stay away from to get our rosy. Today, because we stay in a community that is predominantly non-Muslim, sometimes we forget the rules, sometimes we forget that I am a Muslim, and I have to deal like a Muslim also, and we go by the systems that are around us, the banking system that is around us, the system that is around us as far as buying and selling is concerned, as far as deception is concerned, as far as lying is concerned, etc. We find we also become victims of the system around us, and we don't trade and do business and commerce like a Muslim ought to do. A Muslim, everything is distinct and different, and it's according to the way shown to us by Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has warned us about this. Allah Ta'ala tells in the Quran, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu kulu min tayyibati ma razaqnakum washkuru lillahi in kuntum iyyahu ta'budun. Oh, you who believe, eat from that, kulu min tayyibati ma razaqtum, from those pure things that we have given you, those things that are completely haram, halal and pure, eat from there. وَاشْكُرُوا اللَّهِ إِن كُنْتُمْ إِنْدِيَاهُ تَعْبُدُونَ, and be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if you are worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us that the time and period will come upon this ummah, يَأْتِيَ النَّاسَ زَمَانٌ لَا يُبَالِ الْمَرْ مَا أَخَذَ مِنْهُ مِنَ الْحَلَالِ أَمْ مِنَ الْحَرَامِ. There will come a time upon this ummah when a person will be not concerned where the income is coming from, whether it is from halal or whether it is from haram. They mentioned the time of Umar radiallahu anhu. Then Umar radiallahu anhu used to reprimand those people that should open businesses and were not acquainted with the rules of business. You are conducting a business and you are not acquainted with the rules of business. Umar radiallahu anhu used to reprimand those people and great Aimma, they should instruct them to go to the Aimma and listen and learn the masail of buying and selling. Why? Because it's very, very relevant as far as our deen is concerned. A person that consumes haram, what happens to him? His ibadat is not accepted. He mentioned that one morsel of haram, if a person consumes, then 40 days of his ibadat is not accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His namaz is not accepted. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us in the hadith, mentioning the spectacle of that person who is out in the path, who is out and is a musafir, is laden with dust, with disheveled hair, etc. And then he lifts up his hands. We all know the du'as of a musafir are accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's mentioned the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but that person lifts up his hand and is pleading in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Rab, Ya Rab, Ya Rab. And he is in that position where his du'as are accepted. But Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, how will his du'as be accepted? Anna yustajabu lahu ma'akalu haram, wa mashrabu haram, wa malbasu haram. How can his du'as be accepted when his eating is from haram, and his dressing, his drinking is from haram, his dressing is from haram, otherwise from haram sources his income is coming, and thereafter he uses it for all his basic needs? Then what happens? This becomes an obstruction and impediment between him and the acceptance in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Similarly, a person, one riwayat is mentioned, a person has a piece of cloth upon him, clothing upon him worth 10 dirhams, and just one dirham is from haram. Can you imagine, just one tenth of that part of that clothing is completely from haram sources. Then it's mentioned the ibadat that he carries out is not accepted by a person. Similarly, a person gives charity from those things that he has earned that is haram. The charity is not accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here we understand that it is very, very important and significant for a mu'min to have his actions accepted in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to earn halal living. And things that are absolutely halal, it should not be polluted and contaminated by haram. Very easy to understand, a person will consume water. If somebody puts just one drop of haram in that water, then we would not prepare to consume it, whether it is alcohol, whether it is urine or whatever. Just one drop of it and it contaminates the whole thing. Similarly, our income. Our income should be absolutely pure and should not be from even doubtful sources. We find that the elders of Islam had abstained even from doubtful sources. Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi, this great imam that you hear of, and we know his accomplishments and achievements, we know what great service he had given to the Ummah and his ihsan on the Ummah, and how the Ummah of Rasulullah SAW was benefiting from him from the four corners of the globe. He mentioned when his father had passed away and he had left legacy, he had mentioned, "I have left such a legacy that there is not one dirham from doubtful sources in my income. Not one dirham from doubtful sources in my income." It was with that pure income that Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi was nourished, and Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi had used upon himself, and we find the results. Similarly, we find those people that have wealth that's contaminated, then we find difficulties, hardships and problems. Why? Haram shows itself somewhere. Person carries out his ibadat, he says, "I'm punctual with my salat, I'm punctual with my zakat, I'm punctual with everything else, but I find a lot of problems in my life. My children do not listen to me, my wife is not obedient to me, my children go against me, and I have this problem and that problem and the tax problem and this problem." It is that haram that is contaminated and mixed up with the wealth. Everything else is proper, but this haram then shows its color wherever it goes. Sometimes in the form of disobedience of the children. Person feeds his wife and children those things that are not halal. Then where do we expect them to go towards haram? Mention that person that feeds on haram, then what happens? It becomes difficult for him to follow the order of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He hears bayan upon bayan, the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but that inclination to come towards halal is not there. To come towards the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not there. Why? Because he's consuming haram. So it's absolutely essential for a person to ensure that all our income is from halal. It is not the figures that are important, but it is the barakat that is there in the wealth. That is why if you compare, don't have to know too much, we just compare the lives of our forefathers and the life of ourselves or the people currently around us, and it will be very easy to come to the conclusion of the barakat that was there in their lives. People should earn simple, should go and do simple work, and they should earn small, meager amounts, but we find that they had barakat in their lives, they had contentment, peace of mind in their heart, and there was love, and the rights of everybody were fulfilled, and their time for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, time for their families, etc. But today, we have become so obsessed with earning that we find every person is earning. Even the little boy is going to school, he's doing some job to earn. His father is earning, his mother is earning, the brothers are earning, etc. A small little family, but we find the needs are not fulfilled. Satisfaction and contentment is not there. Firstly, because the object of earning is lost. The object of earning is not to fulfill our desires. The object of earning is to fulfill our requirements and our deeds. Fulfill our requirements and our deeds. That is why the learned ulama mentioned that we can, as far as our earning is concerned, then this is beyond. It's beyond our control. Person goes out, he does not know what he will earn. لَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ مَّاذَا تَكْسِبُ غَدًا. He will go out and earn a business. He doesn't know how much he will make. 1,000 rand, 2,000 or 10,000. But what is fully in our control is to curb the spending that we have. We have a certain amount of money, then we should stretch our feet, like you say, according to the charter that we have. Other words, live within the confines of our earning. Do not live like the people around us, like the Joneses around us, like our neighbors, like the people, prominent people in our country. Don't live like them. Today the West propagates this and advocates this, that if you want to drive a Mercedes, very simple, go and take an overdraft in the bank and drive it. If you want to earn a house, you want to live in a house maybe in Spingo Beach or in Westville or in some elite area, very simple, go and get a bank overdraft and stay and live that way. But what does Islam teaches us? What does Rasulullah SAW teach us? No. Allahumma qanni'ni bima razaqtani wa barik li fi. Oh Allah, give me contentment in what you grant me. Qanni'ni bima razaqtani. In that rosy and provision that you have given me, give me contentment. Wa barik li fi, and give me barakat. And this, as I mentioned, was mirrored and found in the life of our forefathers. Two people are earning, 12 people are eating, and everybody's needs are fulfilled. And this complete contentment, why? Because the object of earning was not the fulfillment of our desires. And their desires, it was the fulfillment of their need. That is why we hear this sentence so commonly mentioned to them when the youngsters used to go up and tell them, "Dadaji or Papa, we would like to open a wholesale here and a branch there. We want to trade in a certain company." What did you say? "Pa, ye hamare liye nahi hai. This is not for us." Otherwise, we are getting our halal rozi and we are fulfilling our needs that Allah Ta'ala has told us. We are fulfilling the rights of Allah and Rasulullah SAW, we are obedient. We are fulfilling the dictates of deen and we are fulfilling the demands, the requirements of our families. Why should we go and earn more? Why should we spend extra time in going to earn wealth? The object of earning wealth was clearly defined in their minds and hearts, and the amount of time that they used to spend was also fixed by them. But today, unfortunately, you find a person that's given so many different names. You meet a man, you ask him, "Mashallah, what are you doing by?" He said, "No, last year I had 2 shops. This year I got a lot of barakat. I got another shop there, another wholesale here, another property here, I'm doing this there, a lot of barakat in my life, mashallah. But if you look at that person's life, he's not attending the five daily namaz, not giving time to his family, he's not na deen ka na dunya ka. And if you ask him why you are earning, then he's not sure himself what he's earning for, because all his needs are fulfilled. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first, give us the tawfiq to engage ourselves in earning our livelihood in proportion to our needs and our requirements. We should not just go on and earn wealth. This is for the kuffar. For them, this is the jannah. For us, the jannah is coming in the akhirat. This is just guzara. Guzara ki zindagi. Like our Kabir mentioned, is like station ki chai. You might not understand this. Our brothers from Indo-Pak will understand this. When you are traveling and you come to a station in India, normally the tea is not of the quality of your home. But what is it? Guzara. You are just going past now. You are a wayfarer. You are a traveler. Don't be selective there. Whatever you get, carry on. Similarly in the dunya, you are selective. You shouldn't be selective here. Whatever you get, carry on with it. The real life is to come for us in the akhirat. That is why we find a person, the maximum amount of wealth here in the dunya is not contented, is not satisfied. Why? Because he wishes to fulfill his desires and needs. In other words, he has not made this dunya the place for that. وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَشْتَهِ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَدَّعُونَ. That stage is to come in the akhirat. Once Mufti Zainul Abidin rahmatullahi alayh had mentioned in Stanger that a man wishes to fulfill all his desires. If he has this desire, that desire, that wish, this tamanna, and Allah Ta'ala also wants you to fulfill your desires. You want to do that, Allah Ta'ala also wants you to do that, but not in the dunya. Spend the dunya in my obedience, and whatever desires you have in the hereafter, I will fulfill your desires. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give us the tawfiq to earn a living that is completely halal, and to follow the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when it comes to earning a halal living as well. Not that we are here, alhamdulillah, the great name of Allah, carrying out our salat, carrying out our zalat. But when it comes to monetary dealings, business and commerce, then we are completely divorced and separated from the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No, there are great virtues for the person that goes according to the order of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but even earning his living, talabul halam faridatun ba'd al faraiz. It is the obligatory duty upon us to seek halal rosy after our other obligations and our duties. May Allah inshallah continue me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. Wa akhru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.